Well, if the truth is reality and the word of God is true, then the word of God must be reality.
Welcome to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Let's join our pastor and teacher, William J. McDuffie.
All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John, the 17th chapter, verse 17. John chapter 17, verse 17. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Your word is truth. We know that this word here that is translated into English as truth is the Greek word aletheia. And we know that the word aletheia means truth or reality. It is that which has been manifested. It is reality that is clearly seen before our eyes as opposed to a mere appearance without reality. It is reality that is clearly seen before our eyes as opposed to a mere appearance without reality. That's what the word aletheia means. It is something that is so real that it is physically proven. It's physically manifested. And what Jesus is saying here when he's praying to the Father, he says, sanctify them in reality. Your reality is truth. Now, we came to that conclusion because we looked at some things. And if the word aletheia is the word truth, and it is, and here he says, sanctify them in the truth, we know that truth is the same thing as reality. Would you agree with that? And then he says, your word is truth. So that means that, therefore, the word of God is what Jesus says is the truth. Well, if the truth is reality and the word of God is truth, then the word of God must be reality. Now, I know you've heard this multiple times, and I know it was exciting the first time you heard it. It ought to be exciting still. Because what you have to get, this is vitally important, in particular in the season that we're in today, is because a lot of people really put Jesus at the same level as Frosty, the snowman, the same level as old Saint Nick, the same level as Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, a bunch of fictional characters that we celebrate during this period, but I assure you that he is real. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word. So now we can translate that and say in the beginning was reality, and reality was with God. Reality was God. And then reality became flesh. So we know that before physical things came, reality existed. So we're just reviewing. So we know that the physical things are not the source of reality. They are the results of reality. They're only real because the spirit realm is real, not the other way around. This is what you got to get now, because what the world has told you, and we're going to look at this today, is that the thing that is real is the physical realm. The realm that is imagination or fictional is the spiritual. The spiritual isn't real. The physical is real. There's one problem with that. The God we serve, the God we love, isn't physical. Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in reality, right? So if we're going to worship him, we got to worship him for real. Oh, come on, church. When we say for real, we're not those that, you know, we worship God on Sunday, smoke dope on Monday, drink booze on Tuesday, womanize or manize on Wednesday, tell lies on Thursday, surf the internet for filth on Friday, do all of those things on Saturday, and then come back to church on Sunday, and we're all of a sudden in the spirit. No, because we know the word of God is real, and because God's word is real, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it is the focal point of our lives. Oh, you ought to say amen to that. God's word is real. So why are we taking this time? This series is called Faith That Is Rooted in Reality. Amen. Now, we're still talking about faith, but before we can really really dig into faith even more, we got to settle this thing about the Word of God being real. Now, we released the word last week that you have to embrace. You will never believe something you do not believe to be real. You'll never embrace something you do not believe to be real. That's a good note if you don't have it. If God's word is real to you, when circumstances press in against you, you'll turn to the Word of God. Oh, but if when pressure comes, you turn to the woman. When pressure comes, you turn to the man. It's because God's word is not to you. It's real, but it's not real to you. No matter how much preaching you hear, until God's word becomes real. Oh, until God's word becomes more real than the bottle. You will not turn to God's word. You'll turn to the bottle. You'll turn to the doctor. You'll turn to the lawyer. I'm not saying we shouldn't utilize doctors or lawyers, but they're not the source of any deliverance. The Bible says that they that live godly shall suffer persecution, but God delivers them out of them all. Not the doctor and the lawyer, but God delivers them out of them all. When this is real, listen. If, and this is not an indictment, it is simply an indicator. Not an indictment on you, it's an indicator. When pressure comes, you feel depressed and you need some kind of pick-me-up, some kind of physical thing. It's because the Word of God isn't real to you. I don't care. I've been saved for 50 years. Doesn't matter. How long you've been saved has nothing to do with what you perceive to be reality. Now, this is a struggle that many, many people deal with. Lots of folks deal with this because, you know, they are looking for something that is physically palpable, something that they can deal with on the physical level, and they're not interested in those things that are truly reality. They're not interested in those things. They're interested in what they can see, what they can smell, what they can taste, what they can touch, what they can hear. They're not interested in those other things. Now, my assignment is to talk to the body of believers. And I submit to you that many believers don't believe that God's word is real. How can you tell? Because if you believe it to be real, you'll act on it because you know it's real. Don't tell me you believe that the word of God is real and you don't write tithe checks. Don't tell me you believe the word of God is real and you don't have a home church. And I don't mean one back in Tuscaloosa. I'm talking about one in your local area. Don't tell me you believe the word of God is real and you're married and got something on the side. Are you with me? See, if you believe the word of God is real, then that is always the source you go to when pressure comes. That's always the source you go to when there is no pressure. Amen. Everything else is false. Everything else is a lie. All right, now that we have this, let's look at some other scriptures in light of the revelation we have. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, are you there? Verse 6. Let's read it together with the revelation we have now. Ready? Read. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the reality, and the life. No. Jesus said, I am the way, and the reality, and the life. Jesus says himself, I'm real. A matter of fact, I'm not only real, I am reality. I am reality. So no other method of getting to the Father is possible because I am the only way, I'm the only reality, I'm the only life. There is no other way. Listen to this. Religion is nothing more than an alternate way of trying to get to the Father. That's all religion is. It's an alternate way of trying to get to the Father without going through Jesus. I'm here to tell you that the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. Faith is Christ-based. If Christ is not the center of the teaching or the doctrine, it is not faith or a faith. It is nothing more than religion. Amen. Buddhism is not a faith. It's a religion. Hello? Islam isn't a faith. It's a religion. Christianism isn't a faith. Amen. It's a religion. Amen. It's a religion that names the name of the Lord, but doesn't live according to the statutes that are laid out in the word. Amen. But they call themselves Christians because they have a belief in Christianism, not Christianity. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the reality, and I am the life. All right. John chapter 8, verse 31. Now we're going to build on what we've studied up to this point. Verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed, if you continue in my reality, then you are truly disciples of mine. You will know reality, and reality will make you free. You see that? Amen. Now let's look closer. We read this before, but let's look at verses 42 to 45. John chapter 8, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceed forth and have come from God. For I have not even come by my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand? Listen to this. Why don't you understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my reality. Oh, let me say this. I've dealt with some folks, and I'm not talking about people who are new to Christianity or new to the truth of the word, coming out of religion into the truth. I'm not talking about those folk who don't understand. I'm talking about folk who've been in the church or around the church for decades and still don't understand. You know why they don't understand? Because until this becomes real, they'll never understand it. Jesus said, how is it that you can't understand what I'm saying? You're the chosen people. How is it that you can't understand? It's because you don't see what I'm talking about or believe it to be real. Can I just talk to y'all for a minute today? Amen. Let's just be for real. Let's take all the religious makeup off and be for real. The fact of the matter is, though we come here Sunday after Sunday, for some of us in here, this still isn't working. It's not working. Work in some areas, don't work in other areas. But now Jesus said, I'm the way. That means that I'm not the way in some areas and not the way in others. I'm the way in every area. You know why you're not able to embrace, listen to this carefully. You know why you're not able to embrace new aspects of the word that's taught to you? Because you don't see what's real. You don't see real what you've already been taught. Amen. Well, this is how I know. I've been that guy. I didn't act on it. If it was real to me, I'd act on it. But because it's not real to me, I don't act on it. Guess what? Everything else that comes after that makes no sense to me. I hear it. It makes some level of intellectual sense, but there's nothing working in my life, nothing happening in my life. And you know why that's happening? Because the stuff that I perceive to be real is getting in the way of reality. I don't need you to hoop, get with me yelling and screaming. You just better hear this today. See, what I've done is I've taken a person who does that. They've taken a counterfeit for reality. And they've set it up as an idol in their lives. So everything else that comes, that is reality. doesn't make any sense. They can't receive it. Some of you in here right now, you just will not receive its reality that you can live a sinless life. You will not receive its reality that you can live a sexually pure life. You will not receive its reality that you can live a life without any fronting, without any faking, without any lying. You will not receive its reality that you can live a life where you have your trust in God and not in money, not in men, just completely in God. And the reason why you're struggling is because you refuse to move from what is counterfeit to what is real. You with me? That's what Jesus is dealing with here. In verse 43, he says, why don't you understand what I'm saying? It's because you cannot hear my reality. You are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil. And you want to do his desire, the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in reality, because there is no reality in him. Whenever he speaks counterfeit or a lie. He speaks from his own nature because he is a counterfeit or a liar from the beginning and the father of lies. But because I speak reality, you don't believe me. Look at me. Now, you're not of your father, the devil, because you're born again. If you're not born again, you are Satan's spawn. You are his child. If you're not born again, you are a child of the devil. We're not all God's children. We're all God's creation, but we're not all God's children. If we were all the children of God, then Jesus would have been wrong to say, you are of your father, the devil. All right? So, I'm not talking to unbelievers. I'm talking to the believer today. So, your issue isn't that you're under the influence of your father, the devil, because he's not your father. Not anymore. But when you make a decision to operate under these worldly principles, whether he's your daddy or not, you still get the same results as though he were. He's not your father, but because you trust his way of doing things, you get the results as though you were just a sinner. This is the thing that it used to befuddle me. I understand it now. How can believers, Bible believing, tongue talking, Bible highlighting, title having Christians, how could they struggle the exact same way the world struggles? The world has alcoholic problems. Folk in church, alcoholics. How? Can the church be alcoholic? Amen. How can I'm just going to talk where we are now. How can the church have so many issues with sexual purity? That's what we struggled with before we got saved. Now we're saved. Why are we still struggling? See, I look at the demographics. The demographic of the seed of Abraham isn't race. The demographic is age. And all of us in here who are adults in that age of activity. You with me? So you're old enough to be in this activity, but there are rules, there are laws to this activity. You just can't just go all willy-nilly when it comes to these rules. There's specific rules, there's specific laws that govern this activity. Amen. It's not part of my message, but since I stopped by here, let me hit you on this. You need a license to practice this activity because it is between a husband and a wife. Husband who is a male. And a wife who is a female. Let me make it clear. A husband who was born a male and a wife who was born a female. Anything else other than that is an abomination. It doesn't matter if it's heterosexual. If it's not in the confines of marriage, it is an abomination to God. It's just as much an abomination as it's homosexual. Homosexuality. No different. It's an abomination to God. You want to practice this activity? I highly encourage you. Get yourself a spouse. Get yourself a spouse. Don't worry about what you, I'm not worried about your past, and you don't worry about your past. That's under the blood. But now that you're under the blood, get yourself a spouse. If you already got a spouse, stick with your spouse. No sense in even making comparisons. I don't know what you're making comparisons for. You still gonna have the spouse you have. You get done comparing all of these other features. You still got to be with the spouse you have. See, you know why I take the time? Because there's such pressure in the world today to redefine what God has already said is reality. So when it's redefined, it's no longer real. That's why it's not working. Because now it's counterfeit. See, when people really believe marriage is real, you don't talk about leaving the one that you're married to. Thank you, son. Somebody. When it's real to you. My wife and I made up our mind when we really got real about this thing. We don't ever talk about divorce. That's not an option. The Bible said God hates it. And since God hates it, why would we talk about something God hates? It's not even an option. Now, I'm not suggesting every group, every couple that's together ought to be together. I'm not getting into that with specificity. I'm just talking in general. But hey, double-digit years, I think this is the person you should be with. Amen. A sneaking suspicion, this is who you ought to be with. Amen. I look like getting a divorce after 20-some-odd years. Amen. I'd be out my mind. Amen. All right. So when we operate under the world principles, we move from reality. Now, if you remember, we told you that what the devil must do to get you into sin is he must sell you on the fact that the counterfeit is real and the real is counterfeit. That's all he does. I mean, he really isn't. I mean, he's smart, but he really isn't that smart. He just has to convince you that what's real is counterfeit and what's counterfeit is real. And you can only have, I'm going to prove this to you, you can only have one or the other. But first, let me show you about how this system works. Turn to 1 John. Now remember, there is no reality in the devil. There's none in him. He doesn't stand in reality, and there is no reality in him. That's what Jesus said. You see that? Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. Listen to what the Bible says. We know that we are of God. And the whole world. How much of the world? Lies in the power of whom? The whole world is under the power, the dictate, and the control of the one in whom there is no reality. And he doesn't even stand in any reality. That means that the whole world is counterfeit. Now, I didn't say the whole earth or the whole planet. The earth is a place. The world is a method of doing things. And the way that the world does things is completely, listen to me, church, completely counterfeit. You got to get this, because it's the world that tells you to walk away from your marriage. It's the world that tells you that you can be happy with this alcohol in your system. You can be happy with these drugs. You can be happy dealing with these things that are anti-Christ. And you got to know while you live in the earth, it is exactly that. It's counterfeit. It will never bring you any peace, any joy, any life, because Jesus is the way. He's the reality. He's the life. Or I'm coming at you today. I want you to hear this. See, we got to get smart and stop moving for the fake and give up the real. My wife and my daughter, we were at the jewelry store yesterday, and I was pointing out some things to my daughter. There were these two watches side by side. Now, one had a lot more glisten. It looked much better than the other watch as far as its basic appearance. But when you looked at all of those shiny-looking stones, they're all crystals. None of that's real. It's just glass. But look at the one next to it. It doesn't have as much bling, but the bling that's around the bezel, around the face of the watch, those are all diamonds. See, there used to be a time for me in my life when I went for what shined and what glittered. I didn't think about authenticity. I just thought about how it was going to look on me. I thought how it was going to look on my arm. I thought how it would look driving in the car next to me. But then there's a level of growth that comes in life where you start looking for that which is authentic. Everything that glitters isn't gold. Everything that shines are not diamonds. Then when you get to the place, you start asking questions like, is this gold plated or is this solid gold? Is this 18 carat, 14 carat, 10 carat? Or is it 10 carat? Not 10 carat, 10 carat. You start talking about diamonds differently. Tell me about the clarity on this diamond. Oh, it's I2. Oh, I2. Okay, I can accept. That's the minimum I'll accept is I2. I'm not accepting anything less than that. There's too many inclusions and it's too cloudy. Show me something else. See, until you know the real from the counterfeit, you'll accept the cubic zirconia over that which is real. And the world is all cubic zirconia. On its best day, it's cubic zirconia. It looks good. It shines and it glistens. But when you get it home and keep it a while, it starts. Anybody ever have a cubic zirconia? I had a cubic zirconia experience. I had to start someplace too. After a few years, that thing looked like a pearl. It got so many inclusions in it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But the reason why diamonds last so much longer is it takes a lot longer to make a diamond. Now, they say that there's enough diamonds on the planet for every human being to have 7. Some of y'all don't like diamonds. I'll wear yours. That's my mission in life. You don't want to wear, I'll wear your diamonds. I didn't used to mess with diamonds, but my wife turned me on to diamonds. Now, it's it. It's got to be a diamond. That's it. Amen. Amen. My stuff got to have diamonds in it. Security, stay close to me today because it is the Christmas season and it's late. Some people might not have gotten all their shopping. All right.
Well, my beloved partner, that's it for this teaching session. Did you get something out of this message? I pray that you did. I count it a distinct privilege and an honor to call you friend, and I look forward to hearing from you, so write me. Yvette and I love you dearly, and we pray for you constantly. Until next time, this is Pastor William McDuffie reminding you that Jesus is Lord, so you ought to walk in the blessing.
You've been listening to Walk in the Blessing, the media outreach of William McDuffie Ministries. Thank you for your generous financial contribution. It is because of you, our covenant partner, that we are reaching people around the world for Jesus Christ. We would like to extend to you another opportunity to sow into this ministry, which is indeed good ground. If you would like to sow a tax-deductible contribution, please write us at William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. That's William McDuffie Ministries, P.O. Box 2368, Sierra Vista, Arizona, 85636-2368. And as always, walk in the blessing.